Praise and thanks be to the Lord for his unspeakable grace and faithfulness, for his infinite love shown to us by redeeming us and paying the price for our salvation. And not only that, he went to prepare a place and said, I come again to take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. In a little while, all this will have come true. Many have scoffed at this and said, it has just not happened yet. It will happen, just as certain as the Lord has promised. Now, I would like to warmly welcome everyone in our midst, and we really have only one wish together, that God comes down in our midst in a supernatural way, that we experience him in such a way that no question mark remains, that no one would have to ask themselves or anyone else, did I experience it or not? Did I receive it or not? That everyone would know through a personal experience with God that they had experienced it. How grateful we are to our Lord God that he opens the borders in such a glorious way. And I have said this here before recently. I am not a man who has many dreams or sees visions or gets revelations, but I never forget the experience when I saw the bride and the different groups came from different countries and also from Eastern Europe. Suddenly a voice said, now the bride is coming from Russia. And I was so happy on my inside. I was standing on the platform in this experience, and the door opened to my left, and they came in. And then a voice said, after this, it will happen. I don't know what, but the time is near. The time is pressing. God is opening the doors. And I'm not a prophet, you know that. But God has given us grace to proclaim his word with truthfulness, not to mix, not to interpret, but to believe, as the scripture says, and also to proclaim it by his grace. It is a great privilege if in this time the clear and true word, as it was proclaimed in the days of the apostles, is still preached. That is not a matter of course, but God has people on earth who are destined not to practice a little religion, but to believe God from the heart, to believe as the scripture says, to baptize as the scripture says, to recognize the time in which we live as the scripture says. We are expecting a rich blessing from God these days. It has already been expressed, as Brother Rus mentioned in his prayer, that we are all hungry and thirsty. And I read a good example the day before yesterday in a brochure from two people from India, It somehow touched my heart. Judging by the religion, it doesn't quite fit here. But to bring out the point of thirst, it does. You all know, I have been to India many times, more than 20 times. I've seen many things, the holy men, the holy cows, the holy temples, the holy river. And people go there. And the holy men are waiting for people to come to be looked after. And a young man came and said, I want to experience God. And he grabs him and says, come with me. And they both got into the water. And he grabs him by the collar and baptizes him under the water and holds him under the water. And this, you can imagine, in his distress, he sighed for air, yearned, languished. And so that he wouldn't lose his life completely, the man then took him up. And quite horrified, this young man person asks, why did you do this to me? I'm looking for God, not such a thing. And then he says, only when you cry out for God, as you struggled for breath under the water, will he reveal himself to you. And I thought to myself, well, a good example, only when it is a matter of life and death, when we have understood what it is really all about, that our eternal life depends on it, and we hunger and thirst for God to the point that we can't stand it any longer, then we have the promise the Lord gave us in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. God must indeed bring a new spiritual hunger among the people. What good is the most beautiful table with everything on it if people are not hungry for it? I hope that we have come hungry and thirsty. I hope that we have come to experience God. And when we are submerged by the Word, when we are grasping for breath, God will not let us perish. On the contrary, before we can hunger and thirst, He has already provided for us what satisfies our hunger and thirst. He satisfies hunger, He satisfies thirst, and we have already said it. We want to experience God as the same in these days, yesterday, today, and forever. Nothing changes with God, not even the experiences we have. If they are biblical, they will bear and bring with them biblical results and fruits. Brother Schmidt gave me a little testimony. We prayed here in January for a man who had cancer in his foot, in his ankle. And the doctors sent him home and said, there is nothing more we can do here. Now it says here, in January, the church and Brother Frank prayed for him, and the Lord healed him. He is feeling well now. Amen. Praise be to the living God. If we could believe, we would see the glory of God. God can still be relied upon today. But faith must not be a consideration of the mind. Faith must be inspiration by the Spirit, who takes God at His word and considers that which is not yet as if it were already, and then it is given to us. Oh yes, God is faithful. You all know, We have never prioritized testimonies in this place. We have always put the proclamation of the word first, and that will remain the case. But from time to time, testimonies come that strengthen us in our faith, and for that we are grateful to the Lord. If there are friends or brothers and sisters here who need anything from God, please believe me, God is present to give you what you ask for. Only believe now that you have received it and it will be given to you. Look not to the circumstances, but to the Lord, who has finished the work. I would like to read a special word for this evening and then some more scriptures to it. I would like to ask you to stand up to read this word, if you are able. It is from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 12, 6 verses. That's all this chapter has. Isaiah, chapter 12, from verse 1. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. And now it comes, namely the text for the saved. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you, the God of Israel, you are our God, besides whom there is no other. You have revealed yourself to us in Jesus Christ. You have saved us, reconciled us to yourself. You atoned our guilt. You have forgiven our sin and made us your own. Lord our God, would you let us experience this word during this service, that everyone receives what they need from you. And if we did not know it ourselves, Lord, you know it well. We believe you. We trust you. We worship you. And we give you alone the glory. We consciously place this meeting under the covering of the blood of the Lamb and under the leading of the Holy Spirit, that all other spirits may depart in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that in this room the Spirit of God and the Word of God may be heard and felt to the glory of God, in Jesus' name. Amen. We sing together, Thou art worthy, Thou art worthy. Amen. You may be seated. I would like to go into this word very briefly. Before I do that, I would like to read from Proverbs, chapter 3. Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 5 to 8. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health for thy navel and marrow to thy bones. May this word be a blessing to me and to all of us. As human beings, we often rely on ourselves, on our abilities. We become self-confident. The Lord wants us to rely on Him, to trust Him. There is a word in the prophet Micah that says, trust no one, not even your friend. But here it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, even when they are not straight, whatever may come, think on him to make and pave the way. Think on him in all thy ways, and he shall direct thy paths. Amen. Sometimes we can no longer see the way. Often it becomes impassable. But if we manage to look up to the Lord, trust Him, and rely on Him from the heart, then He will make a way, even where there is no way. He makes a way, even where there is no way. And also this verse, be not wise in thine own eyes, but fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. When we read the word from the prophet Isaiah, you all know, he is that prophet in the Old Testament who in his 66 chapters really covered the whole of God's plan of salvation. There is nothing that has been left out. Here it is about that we recognize what God has done. Here it speaks of a day. On that day, what day? What day is that day? The day of salvation, the day of grace, the day that God has given us to be blessed in it, the today that he gave us. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee, though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortedst me. By nature, the wrath of God is upon us all. But there was a day when the wrath of God was satisfied, when all our guilt and sin was laid upon the Lamb of God, and he became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Not only receiving righteousness, but becoming the righteousness of God by grace. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortedst me. Let this be granted today to everyone who has not yet experienced it. No man shall go out of this meeting under condemnation. Every person should hear the glorious message of the gospel, that the wrath of God has subsided and that God can no longer be angry with us. After all, he has made peace with us through our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Dear heart, and I suspect that there are some here today who have not yet had a direct experience with God, who have not yet experienced a breakdown, who have not yet let the word work as it should. Today, it can happen. God is present. I don't know if you have a sense of it, but you can tell if God is present or not. And I say, he is present today. He is in our midst today. He is here today, not to destroy. We are destroyed enough already, not to shatter. We are already shattered enough. He is here to heal the wounds, to make the crooked straight, to save what is lost. He is here as Savior, as Deliverer. He is here to save. I read on. Verse 2. Behold, God is my salvation. Amen. You don't need to look for it anywhere. God is your salvation. People search. They go back and forth. From religion to religion, they search. God is my salvation. Hallelujah. In him we have redemption. In him we have everything. A hymn writer sings, when peace like a river attendeth my soul. Truly, God is my salvation. Dear soul, why don't you say it in your heart? God is my salvation. Say it in your heart. He has saved me. Say it to your God. You have forgiven me. I am yours. The word is addressed to us by God, and then we have to give the answer because of what we have heard. And when he tells us here, or God's word tells us, truly, God is my salvation, give the answer and say, yes, I believe. You are my God, and you are my salvation. God wants to have a conversation with us. We are not just to be preached at. He wants to talk to us. He wants to enter into conversation with us. Everyone is addressed. I and all of us are addressed. It goes on to say, I will trust and not be afraid. Fear is an evil thing. Many people have experienced things because they feared the same things. Fear is the opposite of trust and faith. Fear is associated with unbelief. Trust is associated with faith. A person who has trust believes. A person who has fear is afflicted with unbelief. And the things we fear come upon us faster than we know. Here we are told in the Word of God, I will trust and not be afraid. I have lost count of how many times in the Bible the salutation is, fear not. Jesus our Lord said it over and over again, fear not. And he said, in the world you are afraid, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. What is written in the Gospel? I have seen Satan come down like lightning from heaven. And the Lord said, fear not. We must learn and accept in faith that only what God has said is real reality. Everything else must and will fade away. There where faith becomes a revelation in a person's heart, and this divinely wrought faith does not hang in the air. It is anchored in the promises of the Word of God. According to the Scripture, he who believes in me, as the Scripture says, from his body will flow rivers of living water. A faith wrought by the Spirit of God comes by the preaching of the Word, and through the preaching brings us back to the Word and is anchored in it. I am full of confidence. It goes on to say, and fear not. Why not? Because God has become a Savior to me. How and when did God become our Savior? At that time it was asked, is it you, or shall we wait for another? Jesus answered, go and tell John, the blind see, the lame walk, the crippled are healed, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. John and the disciples knew what was written in Isaiah 35, that when the Lord God comes, the blind would see and the lame would walk. Truly, he has become a Savior to me. I read this verse again in its entirety to be sure we have retained and understood it. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he also has become my Savior. He is all in all. He my strength. He my Savior. He my praise. To him alone belongs the glory. He wants to be all of that tonight. He wants to be it to you and to me. Your strength, your confidence, your song of praise, your Savior, your salvation, your help. Today, he wants to be it to us, each and every one, no matter what we have, who we are. He wants to be to you today what you need, whether salvation, whether healing, whether deliverance, whatever, strength, and then he will be our song of praise. There are people who praise God after they have experienced him, and we should also be among them. Those who offer thanks to the Lord, he opens himself the door for new blessings. God made a way, and he said, "Open wide your mouth, and I will fill it." God means what he says. He keeps what he promises. Today, we can really experience God in this place. The experience of God is not dependent on another. Each individual may believe and experience God. In verse 3 it says, "Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation." Have we already done that? Or do we want to start today? It is not too late. As long as it is time of grace, it is not too late. Who draws from the well of salvation? When the woman came to the Lord at the well, and he said to her, "Give me to drink." You all know John 4 and what happened there. And then our Lord says to her, "If you knew who it is that is talking to you, you would ask him to give you a drink. And whoever drinks of the water that I shall give will never thirst." There stood the well of living water. The rock that was smitten, the rock that accompanied Israel through the wilderness, out of which flowed water. You can read it, so that even those who may not be so familiar with every scripture in the Bible, let me read it to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, from verse 1, maybe to make it short, verse 2 and 3. "And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual food, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." So it says in the Bible, and so it is true. And this rock said, "He who will drink of the water that I will give him will not thirst forever." Do you see what this is about? I read now verse 3. "Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation." It is one spring, but it has many streams. Hallelujah! Praise God! One Spirit, but many gifts of the Spirit. One Spirit, but many fruits of the Spirit. One Spirit, but one body, namely the body of the Lord, the Church of the Living God, with many members. For every member, the Scriptures could be given. The fountain of salvation flows forth. Everything is contained in it. But we must draw from it ourselves. That is our task. Our Lord says, "Come unto me all ye that thirst, and drink the water of life freely." And he said, "Let him who hungers eat of the bread of life." And he said, "I am the bread of life." Whether hunger or thirst, with our Lord, both are satisfied, the hunger and the thirst. He says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and all died. But whoever will eat of the bread that I will give him, and then he says, this is my flesh, I give my body for many, and the blood is shed for many. He has indeed become all in all for us. With joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Let us ask ourselves, when we can really draw lightheartedly, with jubilation, with joy, from the springs of salvation. When? Please tell me when. Only when we have uploaded the burden that weighed us down, put aside the hardships that weighed us down, we must come to the point where we are not oppressed by circumstances. I read it recently in the scriptures, and there it says, even his brothers did not believe in him at first. Painful, but that's how it was. Let's not let the things that hit us or those around us rob us of our joy in the Lord. Let us leave timidity along with unbelief, and let us thank God that he will make it well. For he has a way, and his arm is not short, that he cannot help or save. Thou canst not save thyself, nor others, nor me. But the Lord is able to do all things. He who believes and trusts becomes joyful and grateful in the midst of the circumstances in which he finds himself. Not because of the circumstances. He becomes joyful in God and gains new confidence in the blessed assurance that it is not the circumstances that are decisive, but what God has said. There are so many who pray for children and hold up to the Lord the promise, you and your house shall be saved. Let us not labor over this. Let us leave it to God. He has said it, and that is how it is. So it is written in his word, and so it will be. Even it is at the last moment. But God is right, and his word is true. If we look on circumstances, we may despair. Let us look to the Lord and say, faithful God, it is as you have said. You will bring all things out gloriously. Praise be to your holy name. And joy and peace comes into our hearts. And we do not have clogged springs, but we have a river that can pour out. With joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Today let us begin. Today let it happen. But let us please remember the thirst, the desire to be immersed or submerged first, and then to really cry out for the thing we desire, to long for it with all that is within us. It continues here, and in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord. There is even a chorus, thank the Lord. We thank the Lord. And who knows Psalm 103 not by heart? I think almost everyone, as Psalm 23 is known, so is Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. And then it goes on, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, and who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Blessed be the name of the Lord. All these words of God are still true today and can be experienced today, today in this place. If you seek the connection with God, you will find it. If you long for Him, He will answer. And with joy, not with timidity. After all, the rock is smitten. It does not need to be struck a second time. Its side has been opened. You can drink and be saved. In verse 4 it says, and in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord, call upon His name. Or the other translation says, call out His name. It doesn't really matter. Important is that we know His name, that we confess it, and that with all our heart and soul. Give thanks to the Lord. Call out His name. Declare His doings among the people. Every now and then we talk about what God has done in our generation. And in this we are easily misunderstood. And people insinuate that we are worshipping a man and that we are somehow doing something that they think should not be done. Beloved, for me that is something very powerful. To have personally witnessed how people born blind receive their sight, to have personally witnessed what God has done in my day, in our days, a confirmation of Hebrews 13 verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. We are to declare His great deeds among the nations. Then some rightly say, it would be more beautiful if the great deeds were done now. And I tell you, there are no limits to the power of God and our faith in His power, anchored in His word. With God, all things are possible. But if you look in the Bible, God has done special things at certain times that have not been repeated in the same way. Other blessings have been repeated among God's people at all times, more or less. But there are things that have not been repeated. And so it was and is with this unique ministry that God actually did in our generation. The wonderful thing was, and I also admit it honestly now, I have done it a few times before. I couldn't believe at the time myself, even as a believer, that people born blind could receive their sight. I just couldn't. I couldn't grasp it. And I also admit that when Brother Branham wanted to pray for the girl born blind, I took my head in both hands and I didn't dare to look forward. I felt so sorry for him. I would have loved to help him. I would have loved to tell him, listen, if you are going to pray, please don't do it in front of 16,000 people, but do it where no one can see it. I felt sorry for him. Honestly, I had my head in both hands and stopped looking forward, sliding forward on the seat and back and forth. It's a good thing that I didn't fall off, but I was really in a state of tension. It's hard to understand. But later I felt sorry for myself. Before I felt sorry for him, to be honest, I thought he was going to make a fool of himself and bring shame to the name of the Lord. That's what I thought as a believer. I was sitting quite far in the front, and that's how I thought as a believer. But when he prayed, and the miracle happened, and all these masses of people started crying and praising the Lord, then the tide turned. Beloved, God has not just spoken in our generation. God has confirmed the word by signs and wonders following. I have seen it in Europe. I have seen it in the USA. I have witnessed it. I have seen it personally, what God has done. Here we are told to make known among the nations the great deeds. No one has heard until now and will not hear that it was done by a man. God did it and no one else. And therefore we give glory to God alone for what He has done. In the early church, He had a Peter, a James, a John, then a Paul. God had men on earth whom He could use in a special way. And the people had to pay attention to what was being said. And that is exactly what has happened in these days. There are so many directions, but here is the question. Where is the direction that is in agreement with God and God's word and supernaturally legitimized and confirmed by God? Not a direction, but God sent a man with His word to let the nations worldwide know that we are living in the end time and that the church must return to the origin at the end. And in order for the people who side with God to be strengthened in their faith, God has confirmed the word in such a powerful way. For this we are grateful to Him. It goes on to say, "Sing unto the Lord, for He has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee." Not only by the hands of the apostles, but also as Stephen and whoever it was, God used men who had faith and also men who believed. Beloved, let us not make an attempt here. We don't need that. But we want to rely and lean on God and God's word in faith. To take Him at His word, to receive what He has said. God keeps what He promises. With regard to this day of salvation, I would like to read to you from Isaiah 49 and then quickly from chapter 61. And then we slowly come to the end. Here in Isaiah 49, it says from verse 8, Isaiah 49 from verse 8, "Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in the day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages, that thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth, and to them that are in darkness, show yourselves," and so forth. One could read many scriptures. Oh, that we could experience it today with God. That faith could become so alive, so powerful in our midst, in our hearts, that we no longer see and hear the one who stands in front or beside us or sits in front of us, but that we see and hear only one, as it is written, and they saw no one but Jesus alone. There, where the glory of God descends, you no longer see the man, not even the greatest prophet. There you see Jesus Christ as the first and the last, as Alpha and Omega, as the one who was and who is and who is to come, the Almighty, as the one who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, who speaks and works, who saves and heals. Let us give God the opportunity today to confirm His word on us. There's only one word of which it is written, "Put me to the test." You know that word. It is written in Malachi in chapter 3. We do not need to put God to the test as far as salvation and healing are concerned. But whoever wants to dare, let him dare it and say, "Lord, here I am." And whatever your concern may be, tell the Lord that you believe and trust Him, and that you believe and hold true what is written in His Word. And tell Him, "Lord, today I am here to receive what only You can give." If you are lost and want salvation, believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Believe that He has become your Savior so that He can be. He who believes that he will become may believe it in vain all his life. Only he who believes in the accomplished, in the finished work that God has done in Christ on Calvary, namely, when He said, "It is finished," not "it will be," but "it is finished." I am saved. I am delivered. I am redeemed. It is a divine fact. It is the same with healing. Even the prophet Isaiah wrote 810 years before it happened, "By his stripes we were healed." In the past, the prophet Isaiah already wrote, "Our chastisement was laid on him for our peace, that we might have peace, and by his stripes we were healed." Now we are so long after Golgotha. Please do not put anything in the future. It is a finished work of redemption. Everyone who comes to the Lord in faith, believing in the finished work, please don't believe that He will do it. Believe that He has done it, and it will be given to you. Somebody might say, "Aren't we lying to ourselves?" I don't think so. When we testify to what God has done, then we are telling the truth, and we are putting ourselves on God's side and experience that God is faithful. I think here seriously of this one blind man that Brother Branham prayed for in New York, and he didn't get well right away. And you all know the story. He went to the barber, and the barber mocked him and said, "Listen, so-and-so, they told me that you went to this," they called it divine healer, "and even that he prayed for you. And what about you now?" And the man actually spoke it out, still blind. And he spoke it out. "Yes, it is true. He prayed for me, and I received my sight. And on the barber chair his eyes open, the moment he truly testified that God had done it. Before, he had only believed that it would be done. Now he believed that he did it, and it happened. Beloved, we must learn to believe biblically. He will not deliver, he has delivered. He will not redeem, he has redeemed. It is finished. Whoever comes to him may take it home. No one goes away empty-handed. On the contrary, we may draw from the springs of salvation, and these springs never run dry. We sing a fountain filled with blood, and so forth. We are grateful to God for all these songs and for all that God does. Let me read the well-known scripture from Isaiah 61. Isaiah chapter 61, and let us listen here to the first three verses. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, not to hit, not to judge, but to bind up. The Spirit of God comes upon the meeting to heal wounds. It continues, He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Dear heart, feel it now that He does it. He binds up, He heals. And it continues, to proclaim liberty to the captives, not to condemn, not to reproach, but to release the prisoners. Should one still read the riot act to a prisoner? Should he be scolded? He was already sentenced. There's no need to judge him anymore. It is hard enough to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. What is the use of telling a person you are bound or this or that? May the Spirit of God come upon us so powerfully that we might bring to the bound the unbinding, the solution of the problem by the grace of God. Not from us, but God is present to confirm the word that is heard and believed by the individual. I would like to ask at the end of this service whether we believe what we read to be reality, whether we believe that the Lord is present to do all these things in our midst, to bring about in our lives what is written here, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. What was the acceptable year? The 50th year, the year of Jubilee. All the indebted, all the enslaved became free. The trumpet sounded. The year of Jubilee was here. All could go out free. No one could say anymore, here, wait a minute, please go on here. No one had to go on. All were free to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Today, the Lord proclaims this acceptable year. Today, He binds up. Today, He delivers. Today, He saves. Namely, all those who believe that He has already done it. He can only do it on those who believe that He has already done it. That is the biblical faith. Our faith would be seeing first and then believing. With God, it is the other way around. First believe and then see, because of the experience we have had with God. And listen to the conclusion here. To comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Isn't that wonderful? Is it only written, or is it to happen? It must happen. It must happen tonight, today, under the sound of God's word. God's word does not return void. It accomplishes for what it was sent for. And I tell you, when and where the Spirit of God comes upon a meeting, namely where Jesus Christ is preached and placed into the center, where he is preached as the crucified, as the risen and ascended into heaven, and the one who returns, there, where God's word is the center of attention, there the Spirit of God comes upon the whole assembly. For what purpose? To turn the word heard into reality, to make it real, to confirm it, so that we can go home with the experience in question. And it says here, to comfort all that mourn, to give them beauty for ashes. Like many in the Old Testament, they repented in sackcloth and ashes. And our brother from South Africa knows about the movement there, who repent in sackcloth and ashes. They have a salt and pepper shaker filled with ashes, and they always have a sack with them. And then it goes into the sack, and then the ashes come over it, and then they repent in it. That's not what God wants. The 3,000 at Pentecost, they didn't have sacks to repent in. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. No one needs ashes, neither here nor there. But here we have the glorious promise, the oil of joy instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead a spirit of heaviness, and so forth. God wants to give everything, the oil of joy instead of mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And then it says, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. God has people on earth simply for the praise of his glory. Not that you and I have anything to boast about. No, when we look on ourselves, we have nothing but to moan and complain about. But when we look on the Lord, we have to thank, we have to sing and praise his glorious name, and we confess he has done great things for us. We rejoice while sitting on an ash heap, as a German hymn goes. We believe in God's finished work of redemption on the cross of Calvary in Jesus Christ our Lord. No one needs to despair. No one needs to be lost. No one needs to go as he came. Today, this evening, in this meeting, the Spirit of God is present. For a long time, we have not had such a presence of God in our meetings as it is here today. God is present today. He is here to confirm his word as divine reality. We will hear testimonies of those on whom God has done great things. Count on it. I'm not just saying it by faith. I feel the presence of God. The Lord is here. The holy anointing is upon the meeting. The Spirit of God is working. The Spirit of God is at work. He transfigures Golgotha for us, makes us see with clear eyes what happened there. We don't look at ourselves, not at the circumstances. We look to the Lord, who had spread his arms on the cross. He called out, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest for your souls." And here we are told, he binds up, he heals, he saves and blesses. He takes away the mourning and makes us feel joy in his presence. Believe it now very personally for you and put your name or yourself in the word and say, like the psalm writer, who you have forgiven all my sins, who you have healed all my infirmities, who you have redeemed my life from destruction. Be it you who suddenly appears in this psalm. Be it you in whom God has done great things for the confirmation of his word and the glory of his name. Amen. Let us stand up and sing together, "Just as I am."
Denn rein, o Gottes Lamm, ich komm, ich komm. Wir singen es noch einmal. So wie ich bin, so muss es sein. Nicht meine Kraft, nur du allein. Dein Blut wäscht mich von Sünden rein, o Gottes Lamm, ich komm, ich komm.
Unser Erlöser, our Redeemer says, whoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. As we bow our heads and close our eyes, but open our hearts before God, let me ask, in the presence of God, who would like to dedicate their life to the Lord? Just raise your hand, that we can pray for you. Thank you. God sees the hands. God sees the hands. God sees the hearts. The word does not return void. It accomplishes also now. God is truly present. The Lord is here to confirm his word. For his word is true. Whoever calls upon him will be heard. Whoever knocks, it will be opened to him. Whoever seeks will find. Even today, Jesus Christ is the same, accepted today. Once more, I would like to ask, before we pray, is there anyone else who feels that the Lord calls? Then raise your hand. Thank you. God bless. God bless. Lord our God, from my heart I thank you for your presence, for your word, for the work of thy Holy Spirit. Faithful God, we feel it. Something is happening in our hearts. A deep working of the Spirit of God. For we are your blood-bought multitude. We believe your word. We believe in you, faithful Lord. Now we bring to you all who have dedicated their lives to you today. May they believe that you have accepted them, that you have healed their wounds, made their crooked paths straight, that you have led them from the broad way to the narrow way. For the broad way leads to destruction, the narrow leads to eternal life. Lord, pull out. Bring from the broad way to the narrow way. Do it with power by your grace, to the glory and praise of your name. Heal all the wounded. Deliver all who are bound. Loosen them, O Lord. All the condemned, acquit by your blood that flowed on Calvary. Faithful Lord, we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God, even today, to those who believe in it. And we believe in it with all our heart and with all our soul. Today, your power, O God, is revealed in our midst, and your word is confirmed to the glory and praise of your wonderful and holy name. And all the people say, Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise be to the living God. He is our God, our Savior, our Healer, our King. He is the one who baptizes with spirit and fire. Hallelujah. Praise and glory be to his holy name. Hallelujah.